Hello, hello.
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 This is loud.
Well, good morning, church. It's good to be here this morning. Wow, we have a full house this morning. So thank you guys for coming out. It's going to be a good Sunday. And wow, Nick killed it on worship. What a good time. We're super excited. We get the opportunity to share with you guys this morning. I'm Levi. This is Jen. And we're some of the pastors at APA here. And Jen, a lot of you guys might know Jen because she's usually at the Connection Center. So if you're new here, she might be one of your first contacts. I'm commonly on the worship team on Sunday mornings at least. And we're just super excited to share with you guys. We're going to share a little fun fact about us, or at least me.
This is last minute. I mean, you share yours first. I'm going to think about mine.
Okay.
What's your fun fact?
Is anybody going to the air show after church? Is nobody going to the air show? Oh, has anybody been to the air show? Oh, yes. Yes, Doc. I knew you'd be there. Oh, I just love the air show. So that's what I've been thinking about. I've been listening to the thunder of the F-18s, but I haven't heard it yet.
So your fun fact is that you're passionate about the air show?
I'm passionate about airplanes.
That's good.
And what's your fun fact, honey?
I didn't think of one in that time. My fun fact is that I have a few butterflies in my stomach, and I ended up wearing a butterfly shirt. So that's my fun fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am what I wear.
Yeah.
Thank you, so gracious. But yeah, in all seriousness, we are super honored, really honored to be here and to be able to share what's been on our hearts these last few weeks. We're kind of capping off this label series, and it's been a journey. We've never preached together before, and we have incredibly different styles. So the fact that we're here is a miracle. And it's been a journey, but we're really excited. So our label that we're going to be unpacking today is Christ's co-worker, which is actually really cool how much it's already tied into this morning through what Dave said during the baby dedication and what Nick prayed at the end of worship, and even Zach Wiley's video with missions. This is so relevant. And yet in today's culture of hustle and grind, it's so easy to fixate on that worker part, like we're Christ's co-worker. Like that's where the emphasis lies. But today we just really feel it on our hearts to come back to the starting point in all of that and come back to the moment when that label became ours and put an emphasis not elsewhere completely, but really focus and fixate on the Christ part of that. And so our hope and our goal today is that we will leave together more fully equipped and being able to live in this label of Christ's co-worker more effectively and more full of delight and with greater understanding than when we came in. And so I'm just going to pray to open us up. I think that's a good idea. And then we'll jump in. So Jesus, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for this moment to be together, to gather. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you in right now. Be with us. Be in Levi and I's words. Thank you for teaching us, Holy Spirit. Would we communicate clearly? And Lord, this is all for you. So we just put it on the altar and we say it's all for you. And Father, for each one here, that's not a mistake. And so would hearts be open today to what you have to say to each one? And would we leave knowing you more? Because that's the point, knowing you more, Jesus. And so be with us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. We love you, Father. Amen. Levi's going to read our passage now and where we find this label, of course.
Yeah, so if you guys have your Bibles, you guys can turn to 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to start in verse 16. If you don't have your Bibles, it's on the screen. And if you don't want to look at the screen, I'm going to be saying it out loud. So you got three options there. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new has begun. Kind of like Peter was talking a few weeks ago. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So, as God's partners, other translations will say co-workers, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. Wow.
Come on. That was a big chunk, but let's unpack it a bit. So good. So much to process there. Obviously, the label was in that last verse. You might be thinking, Evangel, why did you just read seven verses? You could have read one and been done. But I think those first six verses really bring a lot of life and context to that, this label of co-worker. Paul mentions in verse 1 of chapter 6 that there's this marvelous gift of God's kindness that we receive. And so we read that, we see our label, we read that, and then we say, okay, what is that gift? And all through the last bit of chapter 5, he's unpacking this. It's the gospel. It's the fact that Jesus came and he died and he rose again and he changed history forever and he changed us forever if we'll receive him. And so that's this marvelous gift that God reconciled us to him. And that's what Paul's referring to. And so now that we have this gift, we have a label, right? Like Pastor Peter is talking about, we're new creations, our old labels are gone and we have these new ones. And one of those is co-worker, or being God's partner. And so when we get this role, what does that mean? Very simply, it's just we're working with God together with a common goal. We get brought into this partnership with Christ. And so the goal is, again, to reconcile people in the way that we've been reconciled. Like, what a gift that we get to do that. And the role that we take, because in this co-working, okay, what does that role look like? We're ambassadors, like Paul said. And this looks like reflecting our King and the kingdom that we're now a part of authentically and accurately, giving a good representation of Jesus in our works, in missions, in parenting, in being together, in volunteering and serving, right? That we would be ambassadors in all we do. And yet, even though Paul's talking to people that got so caught up in the appearance sometimes, the Corinthians could get so caught up in what things looked like and what people had to offer. And even though technically in these letters to the Corinthians, he's at times defending his ministry, and I guess you could say his works, to the Corinthians, he never does it from a place of magnifying himself. But the model that we see here by Paul and that we want to focus on is that he was able to live such in a way that he magnified Christ always. Even when he felt like his works were under attack, he magnified Christ always. In fact, in those seven verses we read, the terms Christ and God were said 17 times. It wasn't, well, I did this, I'm awesome. I did that, I'm awesome. Don't forget that time when I really saved the day. It's Christ did everything, and I'm a co-worker in that. Christ did everything, and don't forget it. Christ did everything, and he can do it for you too. And so how do we, this is kind of where we're unpacking and where we don't want to focus. We could come up here and talk to you about Sabbath and work. We could talk to you about a checklist of things that you can do to do good works. And we know that there are good works that God calls us to. And that's a beautiful conversation. And we need that. We need to be charged. We need this, like Paul says, not to be taken in vain and to ignore it, but to live fully in this gift of God's kindness. So the question is, how do we live as effective co-workers doing these amazing things while not getting caught up in our works, not being that the hamster wheel we find ourselves in our focus? And so today we're just really going to, in remembrance, return to our starting point, and it's Christ. And we're going to unpack what Paul knew to be true about Christ and how it changes everything. And so I want to take a few moments to, look at our starting point. Levi's going to kind of go through sustenance after, but my question would be, if we had a resume that we brought to an interview to get this label of coworker, what would be on it? Like, what do we think would need to be on it? Would it be, okay, you went to Bible college, now you can co-work for Christ? Or would it be, okay, I mean, you got this reconciliation in your life, but how did you get it? Like, did you come from the right family? Or did you have the right testimony? Did you do the right thing so that God would look favorably upon you? These are questions that maybe we think have to be on our resume. And yet, how are we qualified for this label? It's all Christ. I mean, I feel like this is pretty simple, but it's so profound. It's all Christ. We are co-workers qualified by Christ. It's neither our skill nor our gifting. It's neither our circumstance nor our history. It's neither our family line or what we bring to the table. None of these things can qualify you. It's Christ. It's what he did on the cross. It's just that powerful. And it's his love and it's his sacrifice alive in our lives, and that is what qualifies us. And Paul even says that earlier in chapter 3. He says literally these words: it is not that we think we are qualified. Paul, this man who we read his letters and he's an apostle and we learn so much about him, he says even he is not qualified to do anything. Not one thing, big or small, on his own. He says our qualification comes from God. So even further in this point, it's all Christ. And this is just so incredibly freeing. And maybe you're sitting and you're still not convinced. You're sitting and you're like, but Jen, you don't know like where I've come from. You don't understand. Like, I don't feel qualified to be an ambassador for Christ. I don't feel like I can, I feel like I'm not measuring up. You don't know where I've come. You don't know my health situation. You don't know the limitations I'm living in. And to that, I just want to remind you that you're not alone. And I actually want to share a bit of my testimony of moments where I felt like that. And how this just changes everything. And so, a bit of my testimony where I realized Christ is the reason for it all, and the pressure is off me. It's off me to qualify myself. Mm-hmm. Things that could have qualified me. I was raised in a home to two parents who loved Jesus. Healthy marriage, raised in church, same church my whole life. That didn't qualify me. It didn't make Jesus real to me or me fully alive in reconciliation. It was me encountering him on my own that changed things, that brought me into this. And so, okay, my growing up years didn't qualify me because of my house context. I also, for about 8 years, in elementary school to high school, struggled with deep, deep anxiety. And that's something that I felt it could disqualify me, right? Like, I have this passive anxiety, and sometimes it threatens to come back up and say, no, you can't do that. Like, this is your history. This is what you struggle with. And yet, Christ covers that. And then, more recently, about 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. And I was supposed to come out and do Bible college, right? The thing that might qualify me to be a better coworker. And yet, I had to take a year off and go through treatment, which left me super physically limited. And yet, I wasn't disqualified by my limitation. And I'm not more qualified today because I'm healthy and standing here than I was 5 years ago. I'm just as qualified, and it's because my physical circumstance couldn't limit me. My physical situation couldn't limit me. I could still be every bit an ambassador and every bit a coworker because it's not about me. It's not about what I brought to the table. It looked different, but it wasn't about me. It was Christ. It was the fact that Christ was alive in my life, and that made all the difference. It made all the difference. And so, yes, we have unique giftings and these skills, and they're so beautiful, and we've been made so uniquely. But I just wanted to take time for myself to bring us back to that starting point. Okay, Christ qualifies us. We are co-workers qualified by Christ. But then how do we live that? And so Levi's going to kind of share on that of like, great, this is a moment and our lives change and we can think about it here and there, but how are we sustained by that? How does that change the game on the day-to-day?
Yeah. So in some of the things that we kind of mulled over when we were preparing for this, we realized this isn't supposed to be a steps 1, 2, 3 on how to co-work better. I feel like something that we need to hear is that it all comes back to Christ. And I mean, Paul says it, we're reconciled by Christ, and this is what qualifies us, as Jen was saying. So we're also co-workers sustained by Christ. That's what sustains us. Abiding in him is what sustains us. On a personal level, abiding with him, which is really scary for a lot of us. We're focusing on the life source, abiding with Jesus. We begin abiding with Jesus in the reconciliation that he first gave us at the cross, and we're sustained throughout with that reconciliation. And we don't necessarily just abide with him. We shouldn't necessarily just abide with him so that we can work better, so that our work is better, and we rest so that we can work better. No, we rest. And like with no ulterior motive with Jesus, it's really hard to put this into words, but it's just coming to Jesus and knowing his heart, spending time in his word.
Recognizing his role.
Yeah, recognizing his role.
Yeah.
One of the things that I felt was a fitting example of our co-working relationship with Jesus is the relationships that are closest to you, because Jesus wants an intimate, close relationship with all of us. And so I thought of Jen and I's relationship. We get to co-work together.
Right,
we don't work 8-hour days together necessarily, but I do the dishes, Jen does the laundry, I do the vacuuming. As of recently, I switched to doing the vacuuming, and I'm pretty good at it. She has to get on me sometimes for it though. And so we get to co-work together, but at the end of the day, if there's this there becomes this disconnect, if we're just working together and we're not taking time to notice each other, and I have to go to Jen, I have to go, Jen, I love you. Like, there's a wall between us. I don't know why there's a wall between us. I want to be close to you. And I think this is what the Father's heart is for us. This is what Christ wants with us. He wants to be close to us. He wants us to work out of that place of abiding, because essentially we're nothing without that. I think many of us put abiding in Christ onto the back burner because we're so convinced that being his hands and feet and doing is more important, yet we find ourselves malnourished and looking nothing like Jesus. I looked a little bit into the word malnourished, and I remembered from my times on the hobby farm. I'm from way up the road in Fort St. John. If you guys know the place, Fort St. John, 14 hours. We get snow for 12 months out of the year, almost, pretty much. And exactly, that's the joke. Anyways, I remembered when you have an animal, say a cow or a goat or something, and it's in a litter of all of the other animals, and that is a malnourished animal, the way to bring that animal to full health is to let it alone in its own pen and give it the feed a very specific feed that's going to bring that animal to full health. And the animal, hopefully, will recover. And I think some of us are malnourished, and we need to go off, and we need to be okay with just being alone, with stop the work, stop doing, and just be alone with Jesus, because at the end of the day, we're not going to be that effective if we're not with Jesus. In fact, John 15:5 says this. Jesus is talking here, and he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Mm-hmm. For apart from me, this is so important, you can do nothing. Nothing lasting, at least, apart from Jesus. Everything flows from him. And we have to stay connected to the vine. He's the life source to experience life to the full. And experiencing ministry to the full, even. And I think a good example of this is the story of Mary and Martha in Luke 10. Basically, Jesus is with Mary and Martha, and they express their service to Jesus in two different ways. Martha is bustling around, making a meal, trying to make sure everything is all right, that Jesus is happy, and all this stuff, and she's making a meal for him. And then Mary is the other character, and she's just at the feet. It says she's at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. And Jesus looks favorably upon one of the two women, and that's Mary. He says, this is what he says. He says, Martha, Martha. And you know that means something when he says her name twice. The Lord said, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better. He says it explicitly right there. And it will not be taken away from her. A pastor that I love, his name is Michael Koulianos, and he says this. Martha made food for Jesus, and Mary realized that Jesus was the food. Yeah. Just let that sink in.
Say it again.
I'll say it again.
That's good.
Sure, I can do that. Martha made food for Jesus, and Mary realized that Jesus was the food. So there's this perspective shift of like, oh, we got to serve, we got to do all this stuff. But realizing he is the sustenance. At the end of the day, our work begins in the sustenance of the Holy Spirit. One takeaway, if you guys have your journals, you can write this down. It's a great thing that I thought of. The greatest commission does not replace the greatest command. I think that's another way this could be said. The greatest commission does not replace the greatest command. The greatest commission being, go forth, make disciples. It's the greatest commission to doing works, make disciples. And then the greatest command being love the Lord God with all of your heart. And we need to get our priorities straight and understand we have to love the Lord God with all of our heart. And then out of that, we co-work into reconciling people to him, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5.
Mutually exclusive.
Yeah, so much. There's so much more to co-working that we realized as we kind of mulled on this. We were thinking everything comes back to a place of being with Jesus. It stems from this place, and so we get with him, we spend time with him, we read his word. I think Jen's going to talk about that a little bit in a moment. But yeah, abiding is so important.
Yeah. So we're qualified by Christ, and we stay in that place. We don't get caught up in the hamster wheel of our works. When we daily abide in him, and we make that a practice, and it brings us into remembrance, and it brings us into right standing, and it reminds us of who he is. And so I'm very practical. Like, I have loved this, but I've also been like, okay, if I was hearing abide in Christ, I'd be like, how? So I just came up with 4 ideas of how to focus yourself on Christ. And you don't have to be limited to these, but hey, kickstart it. This might help. Devote time to him daily. Whether it's an alarm that has to go off at a certain time, or you know, you talk to your significant other, your husband or your wife, and you're like, hey, before bed, 15 minutes, we're going to spend time in the Word together. Devote time to him daily until it's the light. Read scripture to get to know the one that you are co-working with. Like, we remember that role is ambassadors, being authentic and accurate ambassadors of who he is. And so read scripture. This will reveal him. He is the word. And so get to know him through the word. Take communion. It's so beautiful how we get to take communion as a congregation. It's actually one of my favorite things when we do that monthly. But you don't have to wait until we do it here. You can be at home, and whatever you have, you take communion and remember to say, Jesus, just like Paul did. It's all about Jesus. Thank you, Father. I'm going to work out of this place today and remembering that communion. And then sharing your testimony. This is so powerful, right? We've been brought into reconciliation with Christ. It's beautiful. And for it to be alive in our lives, we can minister out of that place. Hey, I know where you've been, but look what Jesus did. Hey, I know where you're at. But look what he did on the cross in my life. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you. And so those are just some examples. But as we kind of close up our time, Levi's going to kind of direct us in a response time. But before that, I just have one more thing to say. And this is a quote from Benny Johnson. She was known by those who loved her as the happy intercessor. She passed away a few weeks ago. But something she said a few years back in a conversation about intercession and going and loving people well, she brought it back to prayer, and she said, when you're in his presence, you see his heart. And when you see his heart, you can't help but pray for the nations. And she was talking about intercession, but essentially your heart will inevitably be moved in the presence of God. And so it's not wasted space or time to just be with him. It's actually one of the most productive things you can do, and it'll fuel you. And let us not neglect Christ for fear that he keeps us from what is important. But may we have eyes that are opened to see just how important starting from him and being sustained in him is to this co-working. And then go with all your might, go empowered by the Holy Spirit, go with the heart of Christ for people. He'll send you, he won't keep you stagnant. He just wants to love on you and remind you of who you are first, so you don't get caught in that hamster wheel.
And so for a lot of you, you know, you don't know what this looks like. How are you actually sustained by Christ? And it is confusing. It's hard to be sustained by something you can't see. You know, it's not like Jesus comes and he sits beside you, but he's present. He's there. He's in his word. And so for some of you guys, that's a bit of an uncomfortable thing to do. Some of you guys feel like you've been running for so long and you don't know how to stop, or you don't want to stop. Some of you guys, the most uncomfortable thing to do is to just sit in the quiet and to just love Jesus, you know, as simply as it is. But we're a church. I think a lot of us do love Jesus. I love Jesus. And it's funny how the devil will come at us and it's hard to do all of a sudden. So I just want to lead us in a little bit of a moment right now. We're just going to try to practically, in this moment before we leave here, do something about this. As we go out and as we work, we want to do something about the co-worker part. And so if we could all just close our eyes right now, And if you don't know Jesus, or if you're new here, feel pressure to just kind of observe this moment. But don't feel pressure. I mean, yeah, that's why I have a wife here. But let's just in your words, and under your breath, it doesn't have to be out loud, just say, Jesus, I love you. It's so simple. Jesus, we want more of you. We want to come back to what really matters. And just whatever that looks like for you. I don't know, for some of you.